Today's scripture reading comes out of Genesis, the 37th chapter. We're going to be reading through verses 1 through 11. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. He brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him, a coat of many colors. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he had told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were all binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream. And this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to you to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God.
Good morning, friends. My name is Ellen Bielka, and I'm the ELI Project intern here at Resurrection United Methodist Church. So as you heard from Alex's scripture reading, we will be focusing on the story of Joseph and his amazing technicolored coat. Many of you have probably heard of the story, especially because it was made into a movie and a musical starring Donny Osmond. More specifically, we will be looking at how jealousy affected Joseph's story. So in the context of the story, what does it mean to be jealous? This quality is seen in Joseph's brothers when they hear of his successes and favoritism. They feel resentment towards Joseph because he has something that they want, Jacob's love and attention. Based off of that, I'd like those who have never felt jealous before to now raise their hand. Great! So now we all know we're dealing with something we've all experienced. So what and who have you been jealous of? Was it your neighbor's fancy car, your sister's clothing, a friend's personality, neighbor's enormous house? Jealousy brings to light the unfair and the unjust situations in our lives. And advertising agencies don't offer any support in decreasing our jealousy. They're always encouraging us to buy the newest anti-aging cream and the new fad diet that's happening so we can become like those we are jealous of. So our story begins with one of sibling rivalry, brothers hating brothers. Jacob had 4 wives and 13 children. That sounds like a modern-day reality TV show to me. Joseph's brothers were so jealous of him that they were willing to push him down a well and sell him into slavery. And they had really good reason to be so jealous. Both Jacob and Joseph weren't making it really easy for them to like him. It says in scripture, "Now Jacob loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age." He loved Joseph so much that he was willing to give him authority over his fields and give him a beautiful coat of many colors. Now, this wasn't just some old regular coat Jacob had lying around. No, this was a coat that the material it was made from was said to be the same material that the virgin daughters of the king wore. With that kind of favoritism, it's clear that Jacob did not read any parenting books. Have any of you been jealous of your siblings? If you're the oldest among your siblings like I am, you'll understand when I say that the baby in the family always gets the most attention. In my family, I'm the oldest of 3 girls. For the first two blissful, wonderful years of my life, I was the favorite only child. I received my mom and dad's constant attention. They took trillions of pictures of me, bought me really cute baby clothes, and presented to me to all their friends as their prized first child. And then came Emily and Isabel. Yeah, I was no longer the favorite child. That was stripped away from me by Emily and then baby Isabel 3 years later. When I was first stripped of my title, I was in my terrible twos. So I had recently learned the word no. So you can imagine how well that went over when I suddenly realized that all of my parents' attention had suddenly shifted from me to Emily. Not so well. So this anger and this jealousy that I felt is the same that Joseph's brothers felt when their father's complete attention was given to their little brother. And some of Joseph's oldest siblings were in their 30s and 40s, and they were taking orders from a 17-year-old. I wouldn't be happy either. The situation gets worse, though. Joseph begins having these amazing dreams, dreams that one day he will rule over his brothers and his parents. Listen, if any of you start having dreams like that about your siblings, don't tell them. Joseph was probably feeling a little arrogant with his fancy new coat and his awesome dreams. But sometimes our strengths can be our biggest challenge. And it's not hard to excel when we're at our strongest. But it's hard to be humble when we're at our strongest. I had a friend in high school who had a really similar personality to Joseph. She was one of the smartest people in my graduating class. And after every assignment and test, she'd saunter over to me and say, "So, I got 100%. What'd you get?" And that made me really jealous of her academic successes, especially because I was not good at math and science, and those were the subjects in which she excelled. But in the end, it's probably okay she got those really good scores because she's now going to school to be a neurologist. So, with Jacob's obvious favoritism and Joseph's spoiled arrogance, it isn't really hard to see why his brothers were so jealous of him. Jacob, Joseph, and his brothers are a really good example of how humanity, we have this tendency to want what we don't have and flaunt what we do. And although Joseph's brother's jealousy was justified, it doesn't mean they should have plotted to kill him, pushed him down a well, and sold him into slavery. I highly doubt when each one of you get jealous of someone that you plot to kill them. At least I hope not. Maybe you don't plot to kill them with a rifle, but what about with your tongue? Your gossip? Or your glares? When we become jealous of others, it makes us so angry that it rots us to our cores. And it can make us act in a way that is totally uncharacteristic of ourselves. And it can bring about the hostility of others, of those who we are against. And it can make us so angry at the successes of others. In relation to the events of the previous weeks, I want to share a quote with you from Martin Luther King Jr. that I think shows the theme of not using violence as a solution. He writes, "The ultimate weakness of violence is that it is a descending spiral, begetting the very thing that it seeks to destroy. Instead of diminishing evil, it multiplies it. Through violence, you may murder the liar, but you cannot murder the lie, nor establish the truth. Through violence, you may murder the hater, but you do not murder hate. In fact, violence merely increases hate. So it goes. Returning violence for violence multiplies violence, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that." It's important to recognize that we have the right to feel upset, sad, and just plain fed up sometimes. But violence should never be a solution to those feelings. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ, black, white, male and female, rich and poor. But sometimes we grow to resent each other, fear each other, and sometimes even hate each other. As we see in Joseph's story, this jealousy happens in families between siblings. And many of you have siblings that have hurt you or whom you have hurt. And sometimes family or parents contribute to this, favoring one child over another. At one point in my life, I became so jealous of my sister that it made me angry at her. She's a star athlete. She's had a couple of boyfriends. She's much thinner than I, and she excels at math and science, which I said earlier is not my strong suit. I became so jealous of her that I talked badly about her behind her back. But I wasn't actually mad at her. I was mad at myself for not possessing these qualities that I thought would make me a better person. My jealousy made me act uncharacteristically of myself and verbally hurt my sister. Jealousy hides who we truly are, and it's a distortion of our best self. Our jealousy can have severe consequences, and in some cases, could be more destructive than our anger. Just look at Joseph's brothers. Because of their jealousy, they wanted to hurt and potentially kill their own kin. Jealousy destroys you before it destroys the person whom you are jealous of. And until your jealousy is removed, you will not feel peace, contentment, and it could ruin your relationships. Jealousy separates families by more than geography, divides church congregations, splits athletic teams, tears friends apart, and distances those in love. I'm in my early 20s, which is the beginning of the time when my friends and classmates start getting engaged, married, and eventually start having kids. It seems like every other day I hear of a new friend getting engaged. It just happened yesterday, actually. And as a single woman, this is really hard to hear. So when I hear of my friends getting engaged, why do I say, congratulations? When I hear of my coworker getting the promotion I wanted, why do I accompany it with my fake smile? It's my jealousy. So, what is God's solution for our jealousy? Recognizing and admitting to yourself that you are jealous is sometimes impossible. So find someone in your life that you trust enough to tell you when you are missing the mark. Tell them that they have permission and are even expected to speak up when they notice that you are acting with jealousy. Next, focus on what God has blessed you with throughout your life. It says in Psalm 23:5, my cup overflows with blessings. Rather than complaining about what you don't have, rejoice in what you do have, such as a beautiful smile, your loving family, fun job, or simply the bare provisions, like clean water, food, and a house. The last thing we need is to worry about not having enough, because God provides everything that we need, and so our cup is always overflowing with blessings. If focusing on what we don't have leads to our jealousy, could focusing on our abundance lead to our contentment? Just something to think about. I conquered my jealousy by recognizing and accepting my own qualities, like my fabulous red hair, my awesome smile, and my empathy as uniquely beautiful. I rested in the fact that God lovingly made me in his perfect image, and God provides everything for me that I need to live for his glory, so there's no reason for me to be jealous. When this story of Joseph was told around the campfires in ancient Israel, Part of the point was to encourage siblings not to feel jealous towards their siblings. And it was also to encourage parents not to favor one child over another. It was a story, as we'll see next week, by Julie, inviting forgiveness for past mistakes. I wonder if God's message to us through this story might be a call to reconcile with our siblings. Are there any of you who need to apologize to a brother or sister for things said or done in the past? Or call up a family member that has drifted away because of jealous acts? Joseph reminds us of the ways in which brothers and sisters can hurt each other and offers us a call to reconcile with them. But it also teaches us that when we go through seasons of adversity, suffering, and pain, God is always with us. To the tops of the mountains and down in the valleys, God is with us. And as we continue to trust in him, he will always be loyal to us. Later on in Joseph's story, in Genesis 50:20, Joseph says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." It implies that God is always with us, no matter how unjust or how unequal the situation is, no matter how deeply we wish we are more fit, more funny, smart, athletic. This story says, God has you. God is with you. And God loves you. You can cast off your jealousy and confidence that Jesus shows us that God is compassionate towards us. And because of that, we should show that same compassion to others. Throughout Joseph's story, jealousy is seen as a negative trait and is accompanied with severe consequences. But could jealousy be positive? I think so. There's a phrase that says, God is jealous for us. In 2 Corinthians 11:2, God says, "I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy." He becomes jealous of us, or he becomes jealous when we worship and idolize other things, other material items, because he wants us all for eternity. He's so jealous that he sent his only son to die for the forgiveness of our sins and so that we may live forever and ever with him in heaven. So, although you may not get that work promotion or a fancy multicolored coat like Joseph, you can rest in the fact that you will one day receive the biggest reward of all, eternal life with our God. Amen.